Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Glad you're along with us tonight here. And I want to say that, as I've said before, when you consider these injections and what they have done to the human immunological functionality, competence, effectiveness, and it is disastrous, why wouldn't they who did that follow up with introducing new, possibly, and more virulent strains of maybe relatively known or types of viral and bacterial agents, pathogens that can cause us trouble, to take advantage of a weakened immune system? If I were designing a worldwide genocide program and started off with such a bang with these injections, not to mention the actual synthetic virus, I think I would do that. And we have more suggestions that that kind of thing is actually going on. New variants, much more pathogenic than the original variants. And we're going to talk about that this hour, among other things as well. All right, let's go to the most important part of this program, a young lady who lives in New England. I'll get no more specific than that. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. How's the little wing?
The wing is getting a lot better. It's considerably better.
Good.
Like night and day compared to what it was. But, no, I'm, you know, that was quite an ordeal, I have to say.
Well, when Erica would send me, we talk every day, and she would send me pictures, and it was frightful. It was that bad. Now, we've seen worse. There are worse pictures on the Internet. You look up cellulitis. That's the most common handle people use with these things. But that what that did to her hand, it's not unprecedented. It happens, but it's horrible to see. She's very athletic, strong hands, and yet this hand, all of a sudden, was just out of action and looked like a balloon. Well, not quite, but close. Anyway, it was bad. And, you know, when you were in the hospital, see, neither of us really have any interest in going into a hospital for obvious reasons. We've talked about this for a long time. By the way, next February, we've complete our fourth year of trying to help everybody understand this. So that's getting close.
Yeah, I know it.
You were in that hospital, and you were a little bit... You got good treatment in there. And I think you were a little bit kind of surprised by that, but because we hear so many horror stories about hospitals, and just in general, going through this whole thing as a voyeur, a kind-hearted voyeur, it was not a good thing to see at all. And the more pictures she sends me of people with cellulitis, it's usually in the leg, but it can happen anywhere. These are really awful infections. No joke. I mean, that goes into your body, into the so-called meat of your being, and terrorizes it and rips it up and shreds it. And you end up, if you're lucky, with a slow heal. If you're not lucky, you're going to get necrotizing fasciitis, and then you're going to lose a limb, potentially, a hand, an arm, a leg. We've seen it. So this thing can be real bad. And it's all really tied into group A strep. Group A strep. Okay? Now, and Eric is going to explain this, as I suggested, wouldn't you know it, there's a new strain of traditional group A strep that is 900%, nine times more pathogenic than the traditional group A strep, which is damn bad enough. Nine times more pathogenic. A new strain. So take it away, Chief.
Well, and that may be why, you know, we're seeing a surge in cases of strep. Now, this bacteria can present in multiple ways. Most commonly, you would hear about it with strep throat. And particularly in children that are still developing an immune system, you know, they get exposed and
sure.
Deal with it. If it goes untreated, though, or it isn't knocked out fast enough, or the immune system responds in an aberrant way, it can result in either scarlet fever, which is almost a hypersensitivity reaction, or rheumatic fever, where it's an autoimmune attack against the heart. So that's why you want to take this thing seriously. Aside from, you know, eventually going into sepsis or toxic shock syndrome, that's another possibility.
Right.
But that's why you don't take this particular type of bacteria lightly, because it does produce these super antigens that really provoke the immune system in a very detrimental way. And the other fallout from a strep infection in children, and it can happen in adults as well, is this syndrome they call PANDAS, which stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorder Associated with Streptococcal Infections.
Neuropsychiatric?
And it usually occurs.
Huh.
Yes, it basically is an immune, autoimmune attack on the basal ganglia of the brain. So as a result of that, you might see disturbances in motor movement. You might get tics and jerks and uncontrollable behavior. You might get weird cognitive or emotional manifestations like separation
anxiety
changes. Or obsessive-compulsive disorder. In children, it does tend to resolve on its own after a period of time. But, you know, again, you don't want to let this type of infection get out of control or linger.
And
as much as we like natural therapies and we want to avoid antibiotics, there's a time and a place for antibiotics. And I wouldn't hesitate to go that route, you know, if it looks like this thing is getting out of hand. People forget that this is a type of infection that used to kill people. I mean, it can still kill people.
Yes,
and it moves so quickly that a lot of times these natural therapies, you know, whether it's, you know, oil of oregano, olive leaf extract, colloidal silver, you name it, they just can't work fast enough, or they cannot penetrate the tissue where this infection is occurring. It's nothing to mess around with. I mean, even oral antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
as I experienced, didn't do it. You know, I had to eventually submit to the IV.
Yeah, the other side of antibiotics, and we've said this forever, is that it goes into your digestive bacteria and just shreds it, ruins it. It kills it, most of it.
Yeah.
And many people apparently never actually recover what they should have as a bedrock microbiome in the digestive tract. It's not there. It just can't, you can't do it. So you take antibiotics, and if you consider the fact that 70% of your immune function is tied directly to the, I guess, just the bacteria in your digestive tract, you don't want to be messing with that. And if you do have to take antibiotics, you must go every extra step to try to repopulate properly so you can get back your bedrock bacteria, or you're in trouble, because 70% of your immune system is predicated on a healthy microbiome in your digestive tract. And if you don't have that, you don't have a proper immune function. And for God's sakes, if you took the shots, and many of you listening have, you're in double trouble, okay? Because you already have a compromised immune system. And you take antibiotics on top of that, well, that's a big dice roll.
Well, here's the thing, too. We know that the spike protein itself acts as a phage, a bacterial phage. So a phage is a virus that infects bacteria.
It's an attack. It's an attacker.
Yeah. So what it does is it gets into bacteria, and in the case of the virus, apparently it can replicate. It can replicate the virus in bacteria. And the question is, what gets produced?
Mm-hmm.
And several of these bacterial species that are native to the human microbiome will start churning out these venom-like peptides or conotoxins, you know, things that affect the integrity of the blood, the ability of the blood to, you know, maintain homeostasis. It's also thought that in the case of Streptococcus, that it too is normally quiescent, not causing a problem. But when it is exposed to a particular type of phage, this is when it starts producing these super antigens, of which there are several.
And identify the new strain, will you? The new strain of Group A strep?
Well, the new strain is this thing they're calling M as in Mary, 1, UK. Now, M is the surface protein on the wall of the virus, the bacterial wall of the virus, kind of identifies the different groups of strep. So it was first identified in the UK, but the unique thing about this strain is that it produces 9 times the amount of what they call SPEA, stands for Streptococcus Pyogenic Exotoxin A, and it's just really irritating to the immune system. I mean, once the immune system sees it, it goes berserk. And the thing about strep, though, is that it prevents the T cells from actually eliminating it. So you get a barrage of cytokines that don't manage to neutralize the pathogen, but instead, you know, end up destroying your tissue. All of the free radicals and oxidative stress that are produced from cytokines end up destroying your tissue.
Literally. And
yeah.
Whether that tissue can regenerate or not, it seems to be kind of up in the air. We don't know.
Well, the first thing that strep goes after is you know, your red blood cells and then, you know, your vasculature. So at some point, and this is why it's so easy for necrotizing fasciitis to,
It shuts down the capillaries and then works from there.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
The cells die.
Among other things, but when you don't have a blood supply to the tissue, well, it dies.
Or if you have sludge blood.
The funny thing about strep is that it actually has an enzyme in it called streptokinase, which is similar to natokinase, that dissolves clots, which, I mean, you know, when the body's trying to wall something off, one of the things it does is thicken the blood a little bit so that, you know, it can sequester whatever the pathogen is. Well, this bacteria has a enzyme called streptokinase, and you might have heard of streptokinase in the case of clot-busting drugs that they'll give to stroke victims. This particular enzyme will dissolve clots, so it creates kind of a highway for the bacteria to spread. And I was in the unfortunate situation. I was taking natokinase. You know, I take a capsule pretty much every day, just one. But, you know, having that in combination with another enzyme that's going to dissolve clots might have favored the spread of the virus or the spread of the bacteria. Something to think about. And I know Steve Kirsch, when he had his eye, what did he have, a stroke in his eye, a clot
something
in his
like
eye?
That. Yeah, some damage. I don't know.
Somehow or other, he attributed the problem to, I think it was actually a bleed or something. But he looked at, you know, the range of supplements that he was taking and realized that thinning his blood might have contributed to this problem. So, you know, even some of these things that are available over the counter, like natokinase, you know, you have to think about.
Also, if the blood is thickened from being jabbed, that's what the natokinase is supposed to, among other things, to help
it,
with.
It does
right?
help these people, yes, enormously. At least to start,
people to stop taking it because if you've been shot up 3 or 4 times, you probably need it.
I do still take it, but you know it.
Should I keep taking mine?
I think in small doses, it's very potent, and I know many of the vaccinated people are taking really high amounts. But, you know, just one capsule a day, if you're not one of those people, it's probably okay. You know, it does
or
clean the blood.
Every other day?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you have to, you know, evaluate your own situation, because everybody's different.
I still have about one-sixth of the bottle left that you sent me.
I mean, it's good stuff. It has its place.
Yeah,
Just be aware there's no pat you know preformed protocol for everybody for every situation.
No. That's why it's such a juggling act. Boy, it's difficult to know what to do.
Right.
It's hard. And when you go to so many practitioners who haven't a clue, you're really rolling the dice. It's just, it's difficult. You've got to do your own research. The best research you can possibly do is, if you've gotten a vax, don't ever get another one. That's just for openers.
I can't believe that people are still going for these things.
Well,
and
we
they
checked
are
into it, and they are. They are.
Just a word on the the hospital care. I did mean to say, I was very, very apprehensive, from everything we know of, relenting and having to seek medical care in an emergency facility, because of all the horror stories. And that first time I went in, my first visit, it felt like I was getting set up for some kind of shenanigan. You know, just what they were proposing as a course of treatment.
I listened to what they were telling her, and I agreed. It did sound flaky.
Sound excessive.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
You know, just to review what they proposed. First of all, they took a bunch of X-ray, as many as they could, before I protested because the pain was so bad. But then they, were proposing, we want to admit you, we want to put you on IV antibiotics and steroids, and I heard steroids, no, I'm fighting an infection, I don't want steroids. And then CT scan, because we really don't know what's causing this, and, they somehow got it in their heads that I fell, and I didn't fall, so they thought there might be joint or bone involvement.
No, they got off on the wrong side of the road right away, it was weird.
And then, a consult with the orthopedic department and, a transport by ambulance to another facility. And I just, what?
Mm-hmm.
And based on, my prior experiences with cellulitis of the hand from the animal bites I'd had in previous times, I'd just go in and they look at it. They'd take a history and give you some either oral or IV antibiotics if it was very far along. And that would be it. You know, if it changes, come back.
Right.
So, right.
Well,
I think we lost time.
Yes, you might have lost a day or two with the first hospital and that. I don't know exactly, but
well,
I
think at that point
one
an
was
IV
much better.
Well, by that time I'd lost 7 days. I was, at home doing oral antibiotics that were just barely holding this thing at bay, and I was still doing all the other natural antibiotics to try to.
Do you think you might have had the new strain? Could that be a factor in this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
If that's a fact, and what we're trying to get across is, these new strains seem to be popping up at a very convenient time, with regard to the genocide that's underway here. The attempt to thin the herd. So where did this come from? Why did it show up now? Is it just a byproduct of so many people having lousy immune function? It decided to just increase its ability to be dangerous by 900%, nine times? I don't know. I've got this little video about good advice for those entering a hospital. Is this a good time to pop that in?
Oh, sure, yeah.
All right. Who is this lady?
Apparently, she is a nurse herself and is alerting the public to when you're entering a hospital, be careful what you're signing.
Oh, absolutely. And, I don't even trust that, because if somebody ends up being unconscious, semi-conscious, or in the hands of a satanic nurse, male or female, and somebody comes in with a Pfizer and they pop it into your IV line, good luck. And that's happened. They'll just give it to you. All right, here's this advice from a nurse. Let's see what she says.
Because she is a medical professional who has insight and information that you're going to want to hear. So go right ahead, Tina. Tell us what you've learned.
Okay. Since the Affordable Care Act came out, we are now, as nurses required, to ask every single patient when they come to the hospital if you've had your flu vaccine or your pneumococcal vaccine. If you say no to either one of those in the computer, an order will generate that says we need to give you this vaccine. We don't need to speak to a doctor. It's hospital policy. It's now health department policy that we now have to give you the vaccine. Even if you came to the hospital with a stubbed toe, you will be offered both vaccines if you meet requirements, which just about everybody meets requirements for flu vaccine. And most people over the age of 65 will need the pneumococcal vaccine. Even if you come to the hospital with a stubbed toe, you are going to be given this vaccine. You have the right to say no. If you say no, they just check it off as refused. This was never like this years ago. This is a new thing. That...
And tell me what we were discussing before about surgery and your admission that you hadn't had these recent vaccines. Tell me about this protocol, because I don't think that people, in fact, I know that there are many people that are not aware of this.
When you go to the hospital, if you need surgery, you need a knee replacement surgery, first they're going to ask you if you've had the vaccine. You're going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to say, well, you need to sign this consent. If you're going to have vaccine, if you're going to have surgery, you need to sign a consent. In the consent, there's a word called Biogenics. If you sign the consent saying, I consent for you to give me Biogenics, that basically means that they can give you anything that they deem necessary, including vaccines. So if you say you didn't get a flu shot, it's flu season, and you sign the consent that says I agree to Biogenics, they will give you a vaccine even when you're under anesthesia because you already signed the consent.
So you might not even know you received the vaccine.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Unless you go and get your medical records, you will not know that you got a flu vaccine. They may tell you at the end, oh, by the way, you're now covered, you got the flu vaccine, or you got the pneumococcal vaccine. But two people now have reported to me last week saying that they got the vaccine, they did not want the vaccine, they didn't know that word Biogenics meant that they're going to get a vaccine, because vaccine falls under the title of Biogenics.
Biogenics.
It's new terminology that I myself just realized.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is profound. So how can people, with your insight, protect themselves from being vaccinated against their wishes?
You can, when you sign consent for surgery, you can specifically say, no vaccines, I don't want this. Like, you can write an initial after what you say you do not want, and they have to honor that. And if they don't honor it, they can be sued.
Right. So we do need to be educated to protect ourselves.
Correct.
So anytime you go to the hospital,
yes,
you should be aware of their policies.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you said it was Biogenics?
The word Biogenics is now being used. In the past, it used to be a consent that basically said we could give you blood products if we feel you need it. We could give you, you know, other medications if we feel you need it. But now with the word Biogenics, it's now including vaccines.
Okay. I hope you could hear that. I was maxed up on my volume. I'm sure Todd raised it a little higher. But the bottom line is, again, you go into the hospital, you've got to think these things out in advance, even if you're not planning to go to the hospital. What better time to do it? If you're married, talk to your spouse about this. You need to put a floor plan together of how you're going to approach walking into this building, so to speak, and understand that once you sign that form, they can give you anything when you're anesthetized without telling you until later on. You need to be specific. No COVID vaccine, no flu vaccine, whatever you want. You need to, I would write them out, each one. And I would work on this at home right now. You never know when some idiot might ram into your car and you go into the hospital for some, at least initial exam. You've got to be careful all the time. That was helpful. I hope you could hear.
Yeah, that's been a thing for a while now. I can remember someone I knew that had a stroke, and ended up in, you know, ICU, critical care, and they gave him a flu shot.
Right.
And that was back in probably, you know, I don't know, 2017.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, they do.
But
a
yeah,
lot
be
of
careful, because and a lot of times there's no paperwork anymore. You're just signing this electronic, you know, signature.
Oh, really?
Pad. Oh yeah.
Oh really? So it's,
yeah,
in other words, it's micro, tiny, digital font.
Oh, you're not even reading it. I guess, you know, you could ask for a printout, but you know they'll just show that thing at you.
Oh, so it's just a real simple form. Sign this so we can get going. Whatever.
Yes.
Oh my! Didn't know. They're making it easier for themselves, then. They get paid, remember. Every time they give a vaccine, they get paid.
Yeah.
Not a joke.
So the vaccines are being, I don't know, categorized under this umbrella term called biogenics. So anytime you see that word biogenics, that can include vaccines.
Any vaccine.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, what they're pushing now is flu and pneumococcal, which is, oh, I don't know, how many different strains of...
Have they integrated COVID yet with any other traditional annual influenza?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay.
It's still
that
separate.
That was talked about, yeah. I'm not particularly trustworthy of any vaccine, of course, for openers. And how do we know what is in the influenza vaccine? They can alter these things anytime. Each yearly influenza vaccine is a different combination of their best guess on which strains might come around this year. So it's all a guessing game for them, and they're often completely wrong. Anyway, I'm not completely convinced that the argument for any vaccine is convincing to me. I'm just not.
No.
I think somehow we got through thousands upon thousands of years without vaccines.
Yep.
And the idea of improving the nutritional baseline of human existence, health, is something that was really never given proper attention. It still isn't. Doctors should not necessarily major in nutrition, but they should take more than one or two classes. If you get your health straightened out, you're going to be okay in most cases. You will. Your body's
the
immune
majority
system
of
is
these
marvelous.
So-called, you know, public health, you know, infectious contagious diseases were on the decline before any vaccine came along, and primarily due to sanitation, hygiene, and good nutrition.
That's all it was. Yep, that's right. I don't think any of these, for me, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but I would not take any vaccine. No.
No, not at this point.
No. And I'm talking about, by extension, pets, too. You've got to be real careful about what they're giving your pets now, veterinarians.
I should mention, they have approved, this was kind of on the sly. There was no fanfare about this whatsoever. They have approved a self-amplifying RNA vaccine for dogs. Specifically for canine influenza.
Okay, hold on right there. That's a flu vax for dogs that is self-replicating. In other words, it reproduces itself. It reproduces
Correct.
The RNA instructions in that shot. So once you get it or give it to your dog could, who knows how long that self-replicating, self-reproducing aspect is going to sustain. I don't know. Nobody knows.
They also just approved one, literally, this is Merck, M-E-R-C-K, Merck, yeah. Which really is formatted on the same one that they have been giving to swine for a couple of years now. So they have one for canine influenza, they have one for cats, specifically for feline leukemia virus. And in Canada, they approved the rabies vaccine, self-amplifying rabies vaccine, both for
crazy.
Dogs and cats.
No.
Yep.
I wonder if you'll even have a choice to get the non-self-replicating kind.
Well, I think you've got to ask.
See, they call it self-amplifying. It's kind of cutesy. It's dangerous cutesy. Be careful.
Well, and if you look at the promotional material for it,
is what it should
be. It's all good. You know, we don't grow it in dirty cell cultures. But I went looking, and this is on the topic of these self-amplifying RNA vaccines, I guess in Annals Canada, once upon a time when Canada was actually a legitimate government, I guess, had actually cared about their people, they did a study
once upon a time.
Before they approved the use of self-amplifying RNA in swine. And I'm trying to look for that right now. And they looked specifically at whether or not these things would shed and spread.
These are all gene-altering injections, okay? RNA.
That's right. I've got it here.
And you can't
somewhere.
Go back. Once that stuff starts to turn your genes around and You cannot return. You are a different person. Some people are suggesting now that everybody who's gotten a Pfizer vax is now a new kind of physical being and is potentially owned by Pfizer because they've created a different genetic being, measurably so. It is being talked about. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got it here. An environmental assessment for Merck Animal Health RNA particle prescription products for swine, influenza, and other disease agents. This was July 24, 2018. And it's still on the World Wide Web. And there is a particular section on host range specificity, tissue tropism, and shed/spread capabilities.
Wow.
Now, in this case, they're using mm-hmm. a viral vector. It's that alpha virus. And the crux of this was they looked at it and they weren't concerned.
Well, of course not.
But, you know, these swine are, you know, the goal is not longevity. The goal is to keep the animal healthy enough.
Get them to market.
And get them to market at a good weight.
Yeah. I'm down on normal vaccines. I can't even conceive of somebody taking a gene-altering vaccine and a gene-self-replicating vaccine. This is insane to me. I don't. Am I old-fashioned? What the hell's wrong? This is crazy.
This is nutty. And so you will, if you go to YouTube, you'll see actually some promotional videos made by Merck for these pet vaccines, self-amplifying pet vaccines. And,
they're
sugarcoating it.
Everything's,
you know.
What kind of testing was done? How many dog clients did they have in their tests?
I could not find a single safety study or efficacy study.
I'll bet you couldn't. And here's another thing. If you have a dog and you're a family person, or if your dog is your family, you're not going to let that dog run around with other dogs and be exposed to varying kinds of pathogens unless you go to a dog park, which is crazy. Don't do that. Find somewhere else to walk your dog. But you don't. I don't understand the justification for even giving these shots. Jesus, give the dog good food. Keep them healthy. Same with cats. And you don't need to be injecting these. I view them as poison. And when you have a gene-altering vax that now can self-replicate its instructions, the RNA instructions, which will stay in that dog or cat forever, potentially. We don't know. And she couldn't find one study. Think about that.
I mean, whatever studies they've done are not available to the public.
Oh,
I mean, they're happy to tell you about their other ones, but not these.
Yeah. No,
All right. But the concern is that, they're going to shed, and, you know, if this animal is in the house with you, you're going to be exposed to whatever that is.
That's right.
Then, as they've pointed out with the human self-amplifying RNA that was just approved in Japan and is now going to be trialed here as well in a clinical trial, the potential for recombination with another alpha virus that's in the host at the same time that they receive the vaccine is very real.
There's
going to be recombination events. Not that probably hasn't already happened with these mRNA vaccines. I suspect it has. And then it takes off. And so with these alpha viruses, they're typically spread by mosquitoes, insects.
Right.
So, you know, next summer, maybe even now, depending on, you know, if you're in an area where these things are being tested. Or I don't know, you know, dogs and cats getting bit by mosquitoes and then biting their owners. Not to mention, okay, so these self-amplifying RNA vaccines are causing the pet to produce a particular type of protein that we can expect that will be shed.
Yep.
How toxic is that protein? What's the biological activity of that protein?
This
is going to be another disaster.
Yes. How can it not be? They're going where they don't need to go. There's no reason for any of this.
No, there isn't.
If you're out looking to buy a cat or a dog from a breeder, you need to grill that breeder. Are you allowing these puppies or kittens to be handled by prospective buyers who come in, who are shedding, etc.? Have you given them any of these new self-amplifiers? What have you given them? You've got to track all this. And if the breeder, in his or her world, if that breeder has taken a Pfizer or Moderna injection for COVID, you need to know that because they're shedding on those little puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. I wonder if you could call the AKC and ask for non-vaxxed breeders. I wonder if they dare just be sued for discrimination, probably. Anyhow, I sure would. Okay, let's go to Ed Dowd here. We got just a short little video. What's he going to talk about?
So Ed Dowd was commenting on the recent election of Trump and what he hopes will happen with this next administration, if it comes to fruition. With regard to the genocide, the local genocide, that is.
Gotcha. That's us. All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's us.
The other concern I have is the bioweapon that was released on us, the vaccines, and the actual virus itself was a bioweapon. That needs to be communicated effectively in the new administration that something bad happened.
Ed, Trump is the savior of American citizenry by his warp speed program. So I wonder how he expects this incoming administration, other than RFK, but you have a president and now his surgeon general who are both utterly pro-vax. This is a little bit confusing for people. We'll have to see. All right, here.
I would like to see the mRNA vaccines pulled, and I'd like to see a national discussion and people brought to justice over what happened the last 4 years, because it was the greatest crime I've ever seen, greatest fraud ever perpetrated on a populace. And people, there's a large swath of people that don't know why they're getting sick and having problems. You got to remember there's a funnel. There's three categories. There's the injured, the disabled, and the dead. The dead, as much as we focus on the dead, the good news is for I'm not saying it's good news, but the dead are the smallest amount of people. The next biggest category is disabled, and then there's the injured. And the problem is you can move from one bucket to the next. And if you don't know what the root cause of the problem is, meaning the vaccine injury that could lead to these different stages, you're never addressing the root problem, which is the spike protein. So with people going to doctors right now, presenting with cancers and neurological issues, and it's just, oh, it's Alzheimer's. Oh, it's liver cancer. Oh, it's this, it's that. Well, maybe it's the manufacturing of spike protein constantly in your body that's causing this. And maybe we should try to come up with protocols that take care of that to some extent. And right now there's a large portion of the population that has no clue, no clue.
And 81% or thereabout has taken at least one injection of these death vaccines. It's just horrible. And if you're not dead, many people listening right now, some of you, are vax injured and you're struggling and you're not able to get any sensible help from any doctor you go to because they don't want to go here. They don't want to get into this. They don't want to get in this bucket of slime. They're never going to get out because they can't study it. And they can't be honest about it or they're going to lose their license. We've seen instances of that happen. Anyway, this Ed Dowd is a very, very good professional. He's a statistician, among other things, in the health field. He used to work for BlackRock, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he managed portfolios, I guess. So
something like that.
You know, he's tracking whole industries and their trends. And
all right, well, he just said what we've said for almost 4 years now. Don't forget about this COVID virus because that's a bioweapon too. They told us in the beginning, don't worry, it's like the cold or just a lightweight flu. It's not a big deal. You get past it and you'll be fine. Oh, no, nothing could be further from the truth. You don't get past it. It leaves residual impacts on your body. In many cases, these impacts are really crippling. They're terrible. Okay.
Someone said on that note, you know, the virus is now evolving to evade the immune system, and I think the number was 44% of acute infections right now have no symptoms. People don't even know they're infected.
Oh, come on. 44?
Yeah.
That's 44%, getting close to half. Getting close to half. No symptoms. And you could be afflicted
with
something.
And so their first sign...
Because the immune system is disabled from the injections?
Well, no, the virus is evolving to evade the immune system. And
wow.
I don't know, it could be a combination of both, but... yeah, so it's getting sneakier, which is what was predicted. And
it was designed. That was their plan.
Oh, yeah. But somebody was saying one of the first symptoms was that they became anemic. Somebody else, you know, was overcome with dizziness for no reason.
Uh-huh.
And then when they got worked up, they had the profile of somebody who had had the virus. You know, it's got a particular presentation.
Well, this virus is, again, you don't want to get this virus. And you can laugh at face masks all day long. That's your right. And unfortunately, for all of us, the whole issue of face mask protection was made into a chaos soup. They mock
it
one day, they praise it the next day, they mock it again. Now they're back to mocking it. Don't listen to that. And they also mock the 6 to 10 foot rule or suggestion. Stay away from other people. You don't need to be in somebody's face if you're standing in line. Get back a little bit. Give yourself a little break. You got nothing to lose. I'm not suggesting you become paranoid, but just common sense. All right, we have John Bowden here. We can get him in here. He's going to talk about the Pfizer vaccine, or is this a longer piece?
Yeah, this one's about 6 minutes.
All right, we better hold it off.
All right.
We've got about 6 minutes left. We can sneak it in. What do you want?
Oh, let's do a reader or two.
All right, because we have a lot. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and pick one?
What should we do?
Well, we have some. Do you have some more of the Group A strep readers?
Well, I've got this one. This was from this past winter, February of this past year. And this, I would suspect that this is a situation where children got strep. You know, and
which
again,
one is this?
Can,
is this the new group?
Toxic shock syndrome.
Okay. Got it. In a child.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Has anyone known of anyone, especially a child, that has had extreme and sudden vomiting, possibly death afterwards? A family friend called today. Her grandson's, approximately 10 years old, friend, in a social setting, started extreme virus-like vomiting. Parents took her to the ER, where she suddenly died. Now the grandson has started vomiting and is scared he is going to die. The parents took him to the ER immediately. I asked if there was any knowledge if the vax had been given. I was laughed at and made fun of. Side vent, I've had scoffing, polite nods, flat-out refusals to listen. Never been made fun of before for this. I cannot wait to be vindicated. Well, we don't know what it is, but obviously something that resulted in what I would suspect is toxic shock syndrome. Is it bacterial? Is it, you know, just exposure to spike? And that spike may be causing the bacteria to become more virulent?
Right.
But it's no joke. I mean, people are dying like this. And I don't know. It's just hard to know how seriously to take symptoms these days. Are they just going to run their course?
Especially if 44% of things are showing up and presenting without symptoms. What the hell? Jeez, that's very disconcerting. This is not going in a good
direction. I mean, it's hard to know what's causing the symptoms. Is it bacteria?
You don't know.
Is it just...
No, you don't know.
You know, histamine reactions? Is it...
Yep. I don't know. Okay, let's see. How about the... Oh, this is a popular topic. The ugly side of humanity.
Oh, this is, yeah.
Go ahead, take the first one. I'll take the second part.
All right, this is from a vax injury group. I know someone needs to hear this. Happy Thanksgiving. You are not alone. Looking at all the happy families on Facebook is salt in the wound. My phone didn't ring, no turkey in the oven, no one to celebrate the season of gratitude with. All the years my house was full and cozy, the days I planned and prepped a meal for, 20 plus year after year, not one call. If this vaccine taught me anything, it's how hard I worked for everyone else to end up here alone. Keep fighting.
And the next part of that thread, someone writes in and says, friends and family are an effing joke. It was just the wife and I this year. That's it. And someone adds to that, I'm glad you have each other. Another person says, I feel you. I spent the evening in the ER again, still trying to figure out the cause. And a comment to that, I'm so sorry. What brought you to ER? I hope you're better today. Why aren't these doctors speaking up about this, about us? Seeing the same patients in the ER over and over, all saying symptoms started after the vax, and no one has the courage to speak up about it? They should all have 1 week experiencing what we've experienced. Then they might wake up and speak up. And another comment to that. High tachycardia, potentially POTS episode, high blood pressure. This is the one who went to the ER. Tachycardia, potentially POTS episode, high blood pressure, an apparent kidney, UTI, that later wasn't. That's a long story. Thyroid levels way off and wacky CBC/CMPs. I was blacking out again and again on Sunday. Yesterday, I didn't let it get to that point before we ditched dinner and went back. And a comment to that, I'm sorry this has happened to you. If you don't mind, where do you live? You're welcome here at our home in Wisconsin next year. That's nice. And someone, she writes back, that's so kind. I'm in New York. So, yeah, the saddest part of this may be, certainly one of many, the simple fact that family and friends turn their backs on the vax injured. That's really just intolerable. That is awful.
It's hard to believe. I don't know how people can be that heartless.
I don't know. Next time we're together next Wednesday, we're going to bring you all up to date on ALS. It's a big deal now. ALS cases are popping up. Talk about surging. ALS, it's a big deal, and it's fatal. A lot of these things are just not getting any mention whatsoever in the media. Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
Neck, you go ahead. What do you got? Lumps? Post-vax? ALS?
Let's see.
The cellulitis stories are pretty brief. They're not particularly, I don't think, relevant.
They're both in vax and unvax. And this one, cellulitis from shedding, this is, the photograph here is really horrific. Somebody's got a nasty case of cellulitis in their calf. It's all red and inflamed, and it's starting to ulcerate.
Oh, that's awful.
And this person is not vaxxed, but living in a vaxxed household.
Okay, go ahead with that one.
I am treating a person who lives with family members who are vaccinated with 6 doses. He almost died. His liver and kidneys were affected. And there's a copy of his lab report, GGT, gamma-glutamyl transferase, of an unvaccinated patient who lives with relatives who have received 6 doses. So GGT is an indication of liver failure. And a lot of times, if it's really high, it can mean iron overload. It's one of the first symptoms of iron overload. But his legs are just... And he had to go on IV antibiotics.
Yeah.
And, of course, somebody is chiming in saying, you know, why did you give him antibiotics? You know, why not go natural? Well, you know, at a certain point, you can't.
Well, the person treating said, look at my patient's leg. We had to start antibiotics. The doctors didn't know what to do. And it's a bad picture. Erica likes to send me these awful pictures.
Well, some of them are really, I mean, that they've got to be excruciatingly painful.
Well, just imagine that halfway down somebody's calf, the calf is all swollen up, and from there on down to the foot, it's looks like total bruising. Skin is beginning to erupt. It's bad. Lesions, awful. Red, blue, black, but not necrotizing, not yet. So for that patient, there's still hope. Saving a leg, anyhow. This is not a joke. This is bad. And when is the last time? Do you remember a time when the mainstream media has discussed any vax-injured people?
No.
Nope. I've never seen it. Maybe it's happened on some local station here and there, but no, it's covered up.
No, they won't talk about it.
No. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for us this visit. We'll be back next Wednesday with another hour of information for all of you. And hang in there. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just keep,
no, we can't quit.
Keep learning. No, that's not an option. Thank you, young lady. Wonderful job.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with another hour for you next.